These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Yes, welcome into a Monday edition of Flagrant Howls, Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. We got the sports dad, Judd Zulgad, in the house. And I think it was over the weekend or sometime, you've kind of poked me to do this a couple times in the last week via text or email or even on the show.
Yep.
To take the teams in the Western Conference that would be the most problematic matchups for the Wolves in the first round of the playoffs or something like that.
Yes.
I decided to take your request a little further, and I am taking the 9 other teams that are still playoff eligible. So the Rockets are done. Great run by the Rockets, 11 straight wins, and then they ran into the Mavericks buzzsaw, the Wolves buzzsaw, the Warriors buzzsaw.
Yep.
So they're done. So we know who the 10 teams are. We don't know like who's going to be the play-in teams yet because there's still a lot to untangle.
Sure.
But I took all 9 other teams, and I have ranked them based on how hard or quote-unquote easy. I don't think there's an easy series, but I ranked them 1 through 9.
Okay, and the recent genesis of my request on this was actually the Suns beating the Wolves pretty convincingly on Friday. Mm-hmm. And that's the second loss that they've suffered against the Suns in Phoenix. The first one was off a back-to-back and was decisive and was pretty much dismissed as a back-to-back, so a schedule loss. But then the Suns gave them problems again on Friday, and I saw some, oh, hold on a second here. Are the Suns a bad matchup? And so that's why I thought it'd be fun to get your opinion. Like, who have they lost to, and it's not a big deal, and where do you see matchup problems?
Yes. And so I'm going to give you this 1 through 9. We're going to start. Number 9 is going to be, again, I say easiest matchup potentially, right. But this West is a gauntlet. So we'll start with number 9, and we'll work our way all the way up to what I think is the hardest draw whenever the Wolves would draw that team. Presented by our friends at First Equity Mortgage, Sports Dad. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I had an experience that was excellent refinancing my home with David at First Equity. And I recommend that if you're in the market for a new home or a refinance, you get in touch with the fine folks at First Equity. 20 of my friends and coworkers over the years have worked with First Equity on a refi or a home purchase, and they've all had great experiences. So check them out. First Equity works fast. They have a great reputation in the community. They also offer programs for veterans and new home buyers. And David is a 20-year season ticket holder of Timberwolves and Lynx basketball. FEMort.com. That's FEMort.com. Or go to ScoreNorth.com. Keyword David. Okay. Let's start with the most advantageous draw, in my opinion. It could be first round. This is just all of the playoff teams, whether it's first round or Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
Number 9, the easiest draw would be, I think, the Sacramento Kings. Though the Wolves, I believe, are 1-2 against the Kings in the regular season.
Yeah, a win here and I think 2 losses in Sacramento.
Yes. In fact, I'm just going through here. The last time they played, they've only played once since Christmas, and the Kings won that game. De'Aaron Fox didn't play in that game. Was that a target there? Because was that the game Anthony Edwards left early because of the birth of a child? I feel like that might have been.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes.
Kings game.
I think you're right.
So a couple of weeks, it's hard to gauge when, both teams aren't at full strength. I think, the Sabonis-De'Aaron Fox combination is one of the more underrated, under-talked about because they play in Sacramento. Pairings, you've got Sabonis, who is one of the most skilled big men, passing, rebounding, he can score. He's averaging almost a triple-double on the season. It's like 20-13 and 8.5 assists or something. He's kind of a mini Jokic in some ways. And then De'Aaron Fox can go on a run, and they've got some good shooters. They don't play a ton of defense in Sacramento. I know that the Wolves have lost some games, and Sacramento has been kind of a bugaboo over the last couple of years, but I think in a focused 7-game series, I think the Wolves' depth, Anthony Edwards, I'm putting and just the Kings' general lack of experience in some of these spots. Because you might be saying, Phil, wait a second. The Wolves swept the Warriors this season and clowned them a couple times. Why would you, the Kings should be higher up on this list. I think you got to be careful writing off some of these teams with Hall of Famers all up and down, teams that have gone on runs in the postseason that have gone, dynasties. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting the Kings at the bottom of this list for those reasons. Right?
Fair enough.
Number eight, speaking of teams with Hall of Famers all over the place, the Los Angeles Clippers are the second easiest matchup, I think.
Interesting. Okay.
The Wolves are 3-1 against the Clippers. They've been in some close games together. But here's the thing. We talk about like, oh, small ball. Can the Clippers go small and get really switchy and just sling the ball around on offense and put Rudy in the spin cycle? Well, the Timberwolves defense has held the Clippers in four games to 98.5 points per game. They've basically relegated that Clippers offense to a mid-90s NBA offense that can't scratch 100 points. So I think the Wolves' size and depth bothers the Clippers. The Wolves can also run multiple different defenders at Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I'm not saying you're going to hold those guys to a 1-for-14. You might hold James Harden to a 1-for-14.
Yeah. And Kawhi, you just don't know. Like, he's a marvelous, marvelous talent.
He might not play. Like,
That's my point.
He might do a load management game play. Three. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if he plays, if you assured me Kawhi was going to play, it was going to go seven games, and Kawhi was going to play in every game, I might debate you a bit here, but you don't know that.
Yeah. He literally could do, like, a load management game two. My knee is kind of sore, which yeah. I think he's in for the whole series. And again, they've got four dudes, Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, four dudes that are probably just first ballot Hall of Famers on that team.
Sure.
But I just think people have made such a big deal out of these Rudy Gobert teams, the size and his specific profile being a disadvantage in these series. And the Clippers were one of the teams that did it to the Jazz back a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen enough matchups between these two teams where the Wolves make the Clippers uncomfortable. It's going to be tough for them.
Okay.
Number seven, the Wolves swept this team for only the second time in franchise history, but the Warriors, to me, are one of the three easiest playoff series matchups for the Wolves.
Ooh, okay.
I don't think it's as simple as, hey, they've already beat them three times. I don't think this would be a sweep. I was saying that 2 months ago, but the Warriors have found some different lineup combinations. They've done a good job getting a couple young players up to speed in that rotation.
Definitely.
And so it's a different thing when you get into the playoffs against this team, because they literally have the nucleus and the head coach of a dynasty in their DNA. So all three games have been weird in the three wins. They've been oddly close in some ways too, like the game where Draymond choked out Rudy and got ejected and the Wolves played these bench players. Steph wasn't playing. That was weird. But again, the Wolves' size and depth is a big advantage in this series. And you've seen it play out in the regular season that way too.
So what is Steph's ability to play more as well? Because if you recall in the narrow win here last time on the play that Klay took the shot on and the Wolves were tremendously prepared for it, Steph was on the bench for that.
He's... I'm looking at his he's only playing like 32 minutes a game, and he did. I think he sat last night or yesterday for rest purposes. He's not like necessarily hurt.
Right.
But they've done a good job of just kind of keeping his minutes. This is the least amount of minutes he has played since 2017-18. And the reason his minutes were down that year is because they were blowing everyone out in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So this is in terms of if you take away like blowout games, this is the most that they've ever limited his minutes. But they're also doing it in part so that he can play more minutes in the postseason.
That's what I was going to say. He ain't playing 32 minutes
in the postseason. He'll play, my guess is 36 to 38 minutes.
Again. Right, because clearly in the game that Klay took the shot and didn't get the shot off. But anyway, Steph takes that shot in a playoff game and he's in. So like how much does that potentially change things?
To me, the two guys to watch out for, and you've seen flashes of these guys in these Wolves matchups, it's Jonathan Kuminga, who's 21 years old, and it's Brandon Podziemski, who came on as this scrappy, 20-year-old guard that they've been leaning on. Those are guys that I don't know that the Warriors expected to be playing this many high-quality minutes for them. And then, hell, dude, Chris Paul, starting in place of Steph Curry the other day, played like 35 minutes.
He's incredible.
So you're going to get some version of a Chris Paul. So it is the experience and just the general dynasty DNA that still lives inside that team is not to be dismissed. But I think at the end of the series, the Wolves will have several different advantages that they can use to win this thing in like five or six games. So,
okay.
Number six, as we climb our way up here, the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Wolves went into LA last night. They're now 3-1 against the Lakers on the season. But last night was a fairly easy walk because LeBron James was resting. And then Anthony Davis got hit upside the head by Kyle Anderson. He played only 12 minutes. He leaves. The Wolves, without Anthony Davis and LeBron James in there playing defense, wind up with 62 points in the paint. So, I don't know. Hey, you'll take the win. You're trying to stay atop the Western Conference, but I don't know that you gleaned anything from that game against the Lakers last night.
Right.
Anthony Davis against the Wolves in the other three games this year. 30 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals. And then there's LeBron James, who's still playing at a really high level, going into the playoffs. So do I think the Wolves win that series? Yes. Do I worry about the freight train that is Anthony Davis and then LeBron James, whatever postseason gas he has left in the tank? And they've got some other guys that can pop up, like Spencer Dinwiddie can go knock down 5 threes in a game. We've seen D'Lo get hot and score 40 points a couple times. So they've got some dudes that they can get hot outside of AD and LeBron. And it's just like, you got to tread a little bit lightly when you're dealing with two of the greatest players of this generation in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So
who is put on or who slows Davis in particular?
Not Cat.
Cat in a long in a long series.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you're going to throw Rudy at him and you're going to throw Cat at him. But at the end of the day, like, they've done that before and Anthony Davis still winds up putting up Anthony Davis numbers. So can your perimeter defenders limit LeBron? Can they render? I mean, D'Angelo Russell last night, hey, here's your shot, dude. It's your team tonight. No LeBron. Fart noise. He goes like 6-for-18 or whatever he went last night. So,
right.
You know, and sometimes Rudy is better not guarding the other team's primary big man where he can kind of play off ball and do his Rudy thing. Mm-hmm. But this is a situation where they'd probably have to stick him on Anthony Davis for a chunk. But that would be a really fun series. It is shaping up right now to where there's a good chance they would have to play either the Lakers or the Warriors in the first round if the Wolves get the 1 or the 2 seed. So we'll see. Okay, number 5. I would say that this is where this is, and people might fight me on this, but this is the last team where I draw a line and say the Wolves would be definitive favorites to win this series. The other four teams above this line, I think the Wolves would win some of those series, but it would be very much like if all teams are healthy, 6 or 7 game series, a fight to the very end. I'm not as nervous about the Dallas Mavericks. They're number 5 on my list here, counting from 9 up to number 1. The Wolves are 3-1 against this team. I know they have 2 incredible generational scorers in that offense, and they've got some, they've beefed up with some good peripheral players. But I just think, like, the Wolves can run so many good defenders at Luka and Kyrie, and we've seen, like, remember that sequence from a year ago where those guys couldn't even get a shot off in a regular season game against Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's a sweep, but I don't know that the Mavericks match up as well against the Wolves as maybe some of the other teams that they could upset in the first round. So, if you're ranking players in that series, the Mavericks probably have the best one in Luka, and they might even have the second best one if Kyrie is playing at the top of his offensive game.
Right, if Kyrie is being Kyrie.
But if I get peak Anthony Edwards, he's above Kyrie. If I get peak Rudy Gobert, he might be the third best player in that series. It all depends. If you're getting like superhero Kyrie Irving,
yeah,
that's a different story. But I still think the Wolves would win that series in like 6 games.
Ant and Luka on the same court for a series would be spectacular.
Oh, it'd be a blast. It would also elevate Ant's profile if they could knock a team like that.
I mean, how much fun would that be between those two guys?
It would be a freaking blast, yes. And I think with a lot of these too, you're going to see if the Wolves, let's say the Wolves draw like a 3-6 matchup against the Mavericks in the first round, or you know, if they're the 1 or the 2 seed, they get the Lakers or the Warriors. You're going to see a lot of national talking heads pick the other team to upset the Wolves because they're going to look at Rudy Gobert's postseason history, Karl-Anthony Towns' postseason history. They're going to look at Anthony Edwards being young and inexperienced, right?
The Wolves, as far as the national talking heads go, are still being slept on. And I don't say that as a disrespect thing. I just don't think that they have made that step yet. And you know what? If they get to the conference finals, they'll make that step. But, you know, I think it's why Ant does not get called still. I think it's, I think that there is a, I don't know if it's a lack of respect, but I think there is definitely a lack of knowledge about what this team can do. But the nice thing is, if they can win two series, I think that completely flips for next season and changes.
Yeah, agreed. You have to earn it. I think, yeah, that's one thing. Like, I think Timberwolves fans are pretty good about this, but there are some people that are like, you know, give us more respect. Well, the Wolves have done nothing to earn the respect in the postseason, which is where you generally get people's attention.
And that's the problem, too. Like, they didn't get past a first round yet. Go back to that appearance against Houston, and that was pre-Ant, and that was sort of Cat whining. And, yeah, I think there's definitely a prove-it factor that can be addressed.
Yes. Okay. Let's get to the last four teams here. So we're counting four up to the tough four, three, two, one, one being the toughest matchup for the Wolves, in my opinion.
Sure.
I'm just one man's opinion. I am putting the Thunder at four. So the Wolves are 2-2 against the Thunder so far this season.
I know what you're doing here. I can sense it.
I genuinely think this would be a wild series, by the way. This, and again, the Thunder would have for sure the best offensive player in this series in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, probably the best just overall player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They have an incredibly scary young nucleus. So their five main starters, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the oldest one, and he's 25. Jalen Williams, lottery pick, 22. Chet Holmgren, Minnesota's own, 21. Yep. Lou Dort, Josh Giddey, both 24 and 21 years old. So this feels a lot like what they had brewing 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, when it was that young nucleus of Kevin Durant and James Harden and Russell Westbrook and some other good players. So this team is scary talented. They are excellent shooters across the board, but I still think the Timberwolves, with their size and even experience in some ways, like they just have had a little Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley. They've got some Kyle Anderson. There's like a veteran experience thing that I think would factor in into this series, but this would be a 6 or 7 game series and it would be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Very 50-50. So I'm putting OKC number four here.
Okay.
I'll keep going and you can count because you probably want to see how these play out, right?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I'm waiting for.
Number three. So this is controversial. I'm putting this team as a harder series than Oklahoma City, who's been like right there at knocking on the door of the number one.
This one intrigues me a lot. I think
the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
The full strength Pelicans. So the Wolves are 2-2 against the Pelicans. But again, like it's hard to find Pelicans Wolves games that are full strength. Both teams bring everyone to the fight, Zion to the party.
I think he's played in one, right? This season.
He's played in three games against the Wolves the last 2 years.
Right. I feel like this year I think he's at one because he was great in when he played. I think it was here.
I know that the last time they played, period, was 3 months ago. They have not played each other in a while.
Yes.
And the Pelicans won that game at Target Center. Here's the key number here. The Wolves are 0-3 against the Pelicans the last 2 years when Zion plays.
Yeah.
And two of those losses are double-digit losses. He's just like this bowling ball. And here's the problem. So Zion averages 30 points per game against the Wolves in his career. It's one of the highest scoring averages against any team that he has played in since entering the league. He's also played a career-high games. He's in like the mid-60s for games. He's going to wind up playing almost a full season. I don't think he's going to quite get to 70, but
sure.
If you would have said, hey, Zion's going to give you 60 or 65 games, the Pelicans would have been like, yes, we will take that. He's like 100 pounds heavier than Jaden McDaniels. And this is part of the problem for the Wolves. You can take Jaden McDaniels and even Anthony Edwards in some cases. But Jaden specifically, you can take him and just deploy him on anyone on the Clippers. Hey, Paul George needs to be put out tonight.
Yep.
Okay, Kawhi needs to be put out, right? Or
exactly. Or
even like the Mavericks. Hey, boy, we need someone to shadow Luka here or Kyrie at the end of the game. You can just deploy Jaden McDaniels.
Yes. It's a fair ask.
Yeah. Not really in this case.
Right. And this is my, yeah, this is my question. Now I will ask the Kawhi question is, do we think that Zion is going to play the entire series because he runs into more odd injuries and things? But yes, if he's playing, I think it's I think it becomes a huge problem, literally.
He's had a couple of his biggest games of the last couple of years against the Timberwolves. So even if you go back, like, is it, you know, different Timberwolves makeup, but if, like, 3 years ago, I think he had a game where he scored like 45 points against the Wolves. But it's just tough. Like, they don't have a lot, quite frankly, not a lot of teams have a logical person they can just throw on Zion and, okay, we can, he's probably going to get his.
Right.
And then the problem is the rest of the team, you got guys all over the place that can make plays in different areas. So I've got the Pelicans are a team that I would not want to see in the first round if the goal is to win the first round playoff series for the first time in 20 years.
And you love to see them worn down a little bit if you do get them at some point throughout the course of the playoffs.
Yes. Yes. I thought about putting them in the top two, but I'm still going to give respect to Denver. I'm putting Denver at number two.
Okay.
The Wolves have looked better against Denver going back to last year's playoff series than almost any other team in the NBA, if not flat out. Like, if you ranked all the teams in the league, who has the best chance at beating Denver in a 7-game series? The Wolves would be very high on that list. Mm-hmm. They're 2-1 against Denver this year. They could be 3-0, and the one loss they had was without Naz, Kat, and Gobert. Luka Garza played like 30 minutes, and they were a three-pointer from Ant away from tying that game at the end. And they still have the one more game against the Nuggets, too, so they will get a fourth matchup. But they gave Denver a tough series without Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels in last year's playoffs. This is a better Wolves team than they were a year ago. They're going to be more fully stocked. So if I'm Denver and I'm doing this exercise, I do not want the smoke of the Timberwolves. On the flip side, though, it's still a tough series. Like, they're still the defending champions. Right. They're still the team to knock off in the Western Conference.
But it doesn't seem like an impossible task.
Agreed.
And actually, if we're talking about like individual matchups, Zion is probably now again, he has to be healthy, but he's probably the toughest one, right? Because the Joker,
in terms of individual, I'm still going to put Joker.
Well, he's
Joker,
a better player. But I'm saying, like, if we're talking about who do you not want to face as a person?
Joker's number one still. I think he's number one still.
I feel like they do a better job on him.
That's the crazy thing. You can do a good job on Joker, and he still goes off for like 29, 16, and 7. And Michael Porter Jr. is open in the corner. Like, it's so tough. But yeah, like, Zion is a tough one for this team. They just don't.
It feels like they don't know what to do with him.
And that's a good segue into number one here. I'm putting the Phoenix Suns number one.
Woo! All right. Here we go.
So I've gone kind of back and forth on this because, you know, we kind of wrote that game off between the first time they played each other early and it was a back-to-back. It was just a bad schedule. It was a game that you're like, whatever, it's regular season. It's right. November or whatever, right?
Right.
And so throughout that whole process for like 3 or 4 months, I'm like, you know what, though? I think if those two teams were to meet more often, you can throw different guys at Durant. You can throw different guys at Beal. But here's the problem. Okay, a couple things. The Wolves are 0-2 against the Suns. We've seen what it looks like with our eyes, and it's not great. Mm-hmm. Do I think Chris Finch can find some ways to make some tweaks? Absolutely. If this was a 7-game series, you got your teeth kicked in the first two games, take a deep breath, go back to the drawing board. They'd figure out a way to get back in the series. But you talk about, like, oh, throw a guy at Durant, throw a guy at Beal, throw a guy at Booker, right? Well, they traded for Royce O'Neal. He's a 40% three-point shooter. Grayson Allen leads the NBA in three-point percentage. He's making 47% of his three-pointers.
I can't stand him personally either.
Not a lot of people can. They are devastating from the perimeter as shooters, but yeah, a lot of these guys can also drive and get to the hole, get to the free throw line. So the Suns are one of these teams that they just, like, they haven't had everyone together healthy a lot this year. And if you're Kevin Durant, you're probably at this age not going full throttle every single night in the regular season. But they are a sleeping giant team that is probably multiple wins better than their win-loss record would say. And the Wolves have looked really bad against them twice. So Could they beat the Suns in a 7-game series? Absolutely. Is this the team that I am the most nervous about right now? And maybe there's just some recency bias because, hey, the last time the Wolves played the Nuggets, they blew them out. And the last time the Wolves played the Suns, they looked terrible, right? But
yeah,
it's not fluky when you're talking about the personnel they have on their team.
So I think the thing about Denver, though, is the fact that in retrospect, in a playoff series, the Wolves looked pretty good against them.
Yep.
Without key guys. So like that's going to, I think, influence your feeling about that potential matchup more than regular season games.
I
totally get that. But yes, the Suns are an interesting one. And I do think that game on Friday opened a lot of eyes of, okay, this wasn't a schedule loss.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, the Wolves are without Kat. So does Kat come in here and do you start to match some of the firepower with Kat launching some threes? And the silver lining is, I guess they did hold the Suns under 100, but the game was like not
it was over. The Suns just started.
It was not in question.
Pulled some
points. So it's tough, man. And on the experience front, Durant has multiple championships with the Warriors team, multiple deep playoff runs.
That guy's such a special player, too.
Yeah, Devin Booker was, along with Chris Paul, a key piece to those Suns teams making deep runs in the playoffs. So you've got guys that have navigated their way through. So I'll just go through. I'll fly through in reverse order, like the Suns being the team that I would like to face the least. The Suns are number one. The Nuggets are number two. Pelicans are number three. Thunder number four. Mavericks five. Lakers six. Warriors seven. Bring on the Clippers at eight. Bring on the Kings at nine. I say bring on the Warriors too still. Bring on the Lakers kind of.
You're just really cocky.
Everybody else is going to be pretty tough. So.
All right. Well, that's
Keep in mind, too, with the Lakers and Warriors, they're battling just to get there, and they're going to battle through the play-in, so they might exhaust a few sweat beads, you know, leading up to the series. But
yeah, I think in your 6 and 7, which is Lakers and Warriors, D'Angelo Russell can be really good at times, but him against the Wolves, I would almost bring on because of the fact that I think he try and do too much.
Yeah.
And once he does that, he gets out of sorts.
Yeah.
And I do love the one thing about Golden State is if you deploy Gobert on Draymond, because Draymond hates him so much, you would take Draymond out of his game that exists now. And I think that would be a huge advantage for the Wolves.
I think Ant would get in Draymond's head a lot too, because Ant kind of knows at this point.
I just think the Draymond thing is very real. His ability to be just an idiot.
It'd be great theater. That would be a super fun matchup. Just the bad blood. You've got this fresh sort of new face and Anthony Edwards looking to take over the Western Conference and officially put this dynasty out to pasture.
Absolutely. Ugh. Which team bores you the most? Like which?
The Kings.
De'Aaron Fox and.
It's the Kings.
Sabonis.
Yeah. They've got some good players, but in terms of. If the Kings and the Wolves played each other in the first round, like nobody would watch it outside of Sacramento and Minnesota.
I'd watch it. Kyle would watch it.
Of course. I'm saying like the national, if you're looking for national respect, beating the Kings in the first round is probably not going to. Beating the Warriors or the Lakers would give you a better jump.
It might be good to start slow and then you pick it up. You get the second round, you go to the conference finals. You never know.
The Clippers would be great. If you could somehow get the Clippers, and I don't think this can happen in the first round at this point, but. If you can somehow get the Clippers early, because I think it's a good matchup, and it would give you the respect of like the national. Oh,
it'd be high profile because of who they've got in the roster. You're right.
Yep. So there it is. Let us know. I'm sure a lot of you disagree wholeheartedly. So let us know in the YouTube comment section of the Scorn Earth YouTube channel. And if you haven't already, give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on the Flagrant Howls Apple and Spotify pages. We'll get Kyle back in the mix tomorrow for the Sports Dad. Judd Zulgad. I'm Phil Mackey. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle podcast.